Welcome to The Death of Miss Whitmore, written by Afonso Carvalho and Ryland Mason, a Detective Shepard Rogers locked room murder mystery. Chapter 1. Shepard Rogers. After 8 months of leave, including 5 months of therapy for a deep, life-altering depression, with tears, lots of yelling, screaming, curling up in the corner, and sobbing, that was his daily routine. Until he struggled through hundreds of hours of therapy and counseling as he slowly tried to rejoin the living. His first step was to relocate and transfer to another police department, somewhere with a slower pace of life, out in the country, somewhere in upstate Rhode Island, or perhaps a different state altogether. Maybe the West Coast, Washington State, or maybe the Midwest. After 8 months of personal leave, his captain at the station was starting to nudge him into coming back to work. He would not go back there. Since he and his partner both worked at the same station, it was an ideal working situation, working in the same building, and having lunch together a few times a week when Shepard was in the building. Enjoy seeing each other from time to time, during coffee breaks, with a subtle wink from across the room or a quick smile. Until that horrible day in late June, when the crazy, coked-up, out-of-his-mind drug dealer decided to attack the police station to steal his drugs that had been seized the day before. The bloodshed and the unthinkable carnage were unlike anything the city of Providence had ever seen. 6 officers and 4 civilian employees died, dozens of wounded, and a complete and utter destruction of the squad room and evidence locker. The memories of that day were unbearable. He could not set foot in that building. Just the thought of going back to that place would send him into a panic attack. Ever since that horrifying nightmare had occurred, his entire life had been ripped from him. For the past 3 months, Shepard has been online, scouring the police station's national database, sending out resumes, copies of his police files, commendations, and 4 years of his annual reviews from Captain Benson. He had received 3 job offers. The first one was in Florida, a place he loves to visit and to go and see his good friend, the famous Mouse. But to live there, no thanks. The summers are too hot, and he likes the change of seasons. The second offer was from Los Angeles, another one of his favorite vacation spots, but again, a definite no. He wanted a slower pace of life, not more chaos and aggravation, but it was the highest salary offer. So he did consider it for about 2 minutes. The last offer was from the town of Glen Meadows, a place he had never heard of, about 1 hour from Providence. The salary was more than what he was making now. He Googled the town, and the information he found online seemed too good to be true. It seemed idyllic. Located upstate, nestled between the mountains and the lake, surrounded on 2 sides by forests, along with walking trails and picnic areas near the lake. The town has a main street and a few dozen side streets branching off of it. A little further out was a large housing development, plenty of farms, large and small. He called the captain, had a great conversation, and scheduled his first interview over the phone. On the day of his phone interview, he was nervous and unsettled. Getting this job would mean a big step. picking up what was left of his life in Providence and leaving it all behind. Mostly for the better. The farther away he is from the memories, the better. But he would miss his friends. The first interview went well. They talked about his qualifications, but Captain Bob Plant was more interested in hearing Shepard talk about some of his cases, about his methods and procedures. They talked for almost 2 hours. Feeling pleased with the call, they said their goodbyes. A day later, he was invited to visit Glen Meadows, take a tour, and have his final interview. On the day of his final interview, he arrived in town 2 hours early. He wanted to drive around town, check out the town center, take a ride by the lake, and check out the recreational activities. Returning to the town center and finding a place to park, he then walked down the main street, popped into a small cafe, and grabbed a coffee. He then continued to take in the sights of the town, the small shops along the main street. The barber shop with its old-fashioned barber pole spinning out front, and a smiling barber working inside. The friendly townfolk offered greetings as they walked by. The feel of a close-knit community was all around him, the warmth and pleasant feeling of home. The small diner on the corner looked quaint and homey, and judging by all the customers inside as he glanced through the windows, it was very popular. Liking what he observed, he knew he would fit in here very well if he was offered the job. Transferring from the capital city of Providence, after the sudden death of his partner of 8 years. The heartbreak and the sorrow and the emptiness of Providence, along with all the memories, good and bad, had been too much for Shepard to deal with. 6 a.m., Detective Shepard Rogers opens his eyes as the hideous rooster-crowing alarm shatters the peace of the dark bedroom, only slivers of sunlight peeking through the blinds. He smashes the snooze button and rolls over, mumbling to himself, 5 more minutes. After 3 more snoozes, he finally swings his legs over the side of the bed, rubbing his face and rotating his head from side to side. In an attempt to shake off his sleepiness, he then heaves himself up and out of bed. Shepard Rogers, a 42-year-old single man living by himself in a large 12-room Victorian home built in 1880. The house was sadly neglected and sat empty for 5 years before he bought it. His passion for old houses and antiques, his talent for lovingly refinishing and restoring furniture, and his love of working with his hands had his house restored and furnished with antiques and flea market finds from around the state to a new antique house in less than 2 years. After a long hot shower and a shave, which wakes him up slightly, he applies some hair cream to his hair and combs it into place. Rubbing some shaving lotion on his face, he grabs his bathrobe and his slippers, and makes his way down the ornate front staircase, through the formal sitting room, and into the bright, spacious kitchen. The kitchen was flooded with warm sunlight, which helped him come alive a little bit more. He approached the French doors and soaked up some more sun, enjoying the beautiful flower beds, the neatly trimmed lawn, and the tranquility of his backyard. The hanging plants on the deck look like they could use a drink. He will have to water the yard tonight after work. Enjoying his first sip of coffee, inhaling the deep aroma of the dark roasted, freshly ground French roast, he popped a blueberry bagel into the toaster. Grabbing a plate from the cupboard, a butter knife, and the tub of his favorite strawberry cream cheese from the fridge. While he sits in the sunroom, enjoying his coffee and bagel, he checks his messages. Nothing urgent. He finishes his bagel with extra cream, cheese. He then climbs up the back staircase and returns to the master bedroom. He pops back into the bathroom, where he applies his deodorant and a few sprays of his cologne. He pulls open the closet doors and picks out a charcoal gray suit, a light gray shirt, a gray and red paisley tie, and matching socks, along with his polished black wingtip shoes. As he dresses for work, he wonders what this bright and beautiful spring Monday has in store for him. Rogers has been a detective for the Glen Meadows Police for 3 years. He loves his new life. It was a massive struggle to get this point, but in the end, it was worth the journey. At 6 feet tall, reddish-brown hair and blue eyes, with a sturdy build and a gentle nature, Shepard was well-liked by his neighbors and townsfolk of Glen Meadows. He was an active member of the town council and always ready to lend a helping hand for any good cause. The commute to the station was peaceful, waving to people as he drove by, stopping for a quick chat with Simon, the elderly school crossing guard, who also owns the local barbershop where he gets his hair cut. He then turns off Main Street and pulls into the parking lot behind the police station. He checks his reflection in the rearview mirror, returns his sunglasses to their case, and exits the car. As he enters the Glen Meadows police station at 8:30 a.m., right on time, the sound of ringing phones and utter chaos envelops him. He stops off in the break room to brew another cup of coffee. Picking through the basket of pods, he chooses dark roast. While waiting for the brewing to finish, he grabs some cream, a couple sugars, packets, and a spoon. He looks out the window and enjoys the normal rhythm of the small town, watching the townsfolk going about their day. As he makes his way to his desk, saying his hellos and good mornings to his coworkers, he's stopped by Captain Bob Plant. "Good morning, Rogers."
"Good morning, sir."
"I have to talk to you and Adams after the morning meeting."
"Sure thing, Cap. Anything you want to share now?" asked Rogers.
"No, I'd rather brief both of you together," Plant stated.
"Okay, Captain. I'll let Adams know," remarked Rogers.
Shepard takes a seat at his neat and uncluttered desk. He flips through his phone messages left there by Sean, a very close friend, and the police station night clerk. As he's reading through and reshuffling them in order of priority, mumbling to himself, his partner, Henry Adams, takes a seat opposite his desk.
"Good morning, Rogers."
"Morning, Henry. How was your weekend?"
"It was relaxing and uneventful, just how I like them.
And yours?"
"Just about the same. A little yard work. I planted new hydrangea bushes along the back fence. A little housework. And some laundry. You know, all the fun stuff."
"That's what you get for owning a house. Me and Zach spent a quiet weekend at home. Sunday, Zach spent a few hours baking at the farm store. So I spent time with my parents."
"Sounds nice. I love owning my own house. Oh, by the way, Captain Plant wants to meet with us after the morning briefing."
"Am I in trouble again?" he asked.
"No, Mr. Paranoid. I think it's about a new case."
Thank you for listening, everyone, and stay tuned for Chapter 2.